I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. Let us stand together as we celebrate the living God and singing our call to worship. Come, Christians, join to sing. It's verse number one. God is good
all the time.
As we celebrate God this morning, we encourage you to welcome one another and greet one another each Sunday as you come in and leave this place together. We especially want to extend a warm welcome to any visitors who are with us today, and we encourage you to fill out a visitor card. You can find those on the back of the pew in front of you, and if you'd like, just place that in the offering plate today, and it'll help us get to know you a little bit better, but more importantly, will give us a chance to let you know more about us here at First Baptist in Elon. We have just one thing we want to remind you of about today's service. Last Sunday, we announced that we would be collecting a special offering above and beyond our tithes this morning. As the offering plate passes you later in the service, we encourage you to consider making a donation to support the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship Syrian Crisis Fund. They are sending these funds directly to missionaries in places like Greece and Turkey and other countries surrounding Syria where refugees have been pouring across borders. There are hunger needs. There's suffering. There is need for clothing, for warmth, for places to sleep. And Cooperative Baptist field personnel, or missionaries as they used to be called, are on the front lines of that crisis. So if you would like to support that ministry and that effort, just make a designation as Syrian Crisis and indicate how much you'd like to share for that. We also want to encourage you to begin, if you haven't already done so, praying for those who are suffering. And this has been called the greatest humanitarian crisis of our time, and that's certainly proving to be the case. And it really doesn't seem to show any signs of slowing down. So consider that as we worship today. Today, we celebrate the challenge that God places on our lives. When God calls us to consider what is precious to you today, what is important to you. Martin Luther famously said that if you're hanging off a cliff and you're losing your grip, the last thing or the first thing and the only thing that crosses through your mind as you let go, that is your God. What is your God today? Let us continue to worship.
Our opening scripture reading comes from Psalm 19, verses 7 through 12. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them there is great reward. But who can detect their errors? Clear me from hidden faults. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Join with me in prayer this morning.
Heavenly Father, whose signature we can see on your beautiful creation, help us this hour to look and to listen, to continue to see your presence in this place today at First Baptist Elon. Connect our temporary praise to your eternal glory that resides in the heavens and that resides in your people. Father God, guide our focus to you. Allow our thoughts to be on you this day. Breathe life into our singing, our praying, our scripture reading, our listening. So when we hear, all we hear is you. Our focus is on you this day, O Heavenly Father, and we lift this up to you. We pray this prayer in your Son's name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please stand for our hymn of praise, Mighty is Our God. Our ministry highlight this morning is our church homecoming service. It will be in 2 weeks on October 11th. The schedule will be a little different on homecoming Sunday. Our service will begin at 10:30, followed by a covered dish lunch in the fellowship hall. We will not have Sunday school on homecoming Sunday. So make sure that you save the date and the time, October 11th at 10:30. The worship team invited Dr. Terry Farmer, who was, as you know, one of our interim pastors in 2014, to come and share the message with us. He currently lives in Sanford with his wife, Belinda, and has been doing interim preaching positions and guest speaking at churches all over North Carolina. So our music ministry, our worship team, family team, are all preparing for a special Sunday in the life of our church, and we want you all to be there. Also, we are asking church members to help us. We're asking you to help us spread the word about homecoming to your friends, former members, family, by mailing them a postcard invitation. There is a basket in the vestibule where you can pick these up after the service. So help us by mailing this to your friends and family who you'd like to come and join us for this day. Let's stand, let's sing our offertory hymn together, Glorious is Thy Name, number 204 in your hymnal.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for bringing each of us here today and for the needed rain. Continue to be with those who are sick and far from home. Bless each gift and giver, and let them all be used for your glory. And let us always be witnesses for you in all that we say and do. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
When I walk through deep waters, I know that you will be with me. When I'm standing in the fire, I will not be overcome. Through the valley of the shadow, I will not fear. I am not alone, I am not alone. You will go before me, you will never leave me. I am not alone, I am not alone. You will go before me, you will never leave me.
In the midst of deep sorrow, I see a light is breaking through. The dark of night will not overtake me. I am pressing into you. Lord, you fight my every battle, and I will not fear.
I am not alone, I am not alone. You will go before me, you will never leave me. I am not alone, I am not alone. You will go before me, you will never leave me. You amaze me, redeem me, you call me as your own. You amaze me, redeem me, you call me as your own. You amaze me, redeem me, you call me as your own. You amaze me, redeem me, you call me as your own.
You're my strength, you're my defender. You're my refuge in the storm. Through these trials, you've always been faithful. You bring healing to my soul.
I am not alone, I am not alone. You will go before me, you will never leave me. I am not alone, I am not alone. You will go before me, you will never leave me. I am not alone, I am not alone. You will go before me, you will never leave me. I am not alone. for me, you will never leave me.
Almighty God, we turn on the news these days and we're called to lament like the psalmist. Why does it seem the wicked prosper and the righteous suffer? Why is there so much hurt? What's going wrong in the world? Lord, we confess this world needs a Savior. This world needs salvation. Salvation from suffering, salvation from wickedness, salvation from hunger and thirst, salvation from guilt and shame, salvation from war and crime and oppression, salvation from loneliness and disconnect. Lord, you are that salvation. Lord, you are the Savior. All our hope and our trust is in you. We confess so often we forget that. And we look to other places for strength when there is no strength there. As Jeremiah said, we go after things that do not profit. Lord, teach us to put all our hope in you. To remember, no, we are not alone, and that your Spirit is with us always. Renew our minds, change our minds, and transform our lives. In Christ's name, amen. I invite you to hear again from the words of Scripture a message of both challenge and hope from Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 22. You were taught to put away your former way of life, your old self, corrupt and deluded by its lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to clothe yourselves with the new self, created according to the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Thank God for God's word. Amen. Thank you. music like we've had today, what do you need me for? Let's go home. I hope you have a great day. Today, you've probably noticed in the bulletin the title of the sermon, Cut It Out. And despite what Phil's been telling people, it's not about how to get chewing gum out of your hair. It's about something very different, something that's much more serious than chewing gum in the hair. Think about it like this. You may have seen this video on YouTube, or people have posted it to Facebook, of this beautiful dog that's picked up this larger-than-life stick. Now, I don't understand, because I'm not a dog, what it is, what's the appeal about a stick. But dogs love them, some do. And this dog's got this giant stick in his mouth, and his owner is just inside the house, just on the other side of the doorway, calling him to come and get a treat. Now, that sounds interesting. I bet it's bacon-flavored. And I don't care, even if it's a dog treat, you've had bacon, and it sounds kind of appealing, doesn't it? And so here is this dog with this big stick, and the owner calling him and offering a treat. But guess what? The stick is bigger than the doorway. Have you seen this? And the dog can't figure it out. He just keeps butting against the door frame over and over and over again. But the stick's too big. The dog's not getting in. And he's just standing there looking stupid. What should he do? Drop the stick. But he's not going to do that, because he's a dog. He's not as smart as you are. He's standing there holding the stick because in his little dog brain, somehow he's worked it out, this twisted sense of doggy logic that's telling him this stick is really important. I got to hang on to this stick. I got to keep it in my mouth. And even though it's keeping him from getting something that really is valuable, something that really is worth it, something that will give him satisfaction, that'll fill him up, something delicious, something tasty, he won't drop the stick because he thinks it's just that precious. Dogs are so wonderfully stupid. But sometimes I think God looks at me and says the same thing. Mason, you are so wonderfully stupid. Because the frustrating part about being a human being is that, not unlike this dog, we have these things that we have told ourselves are so precious and so important, and we hang on to them. Now, we might not say that out loud. We might not even think that way consciously. But our behaviors, our actions, our lifestyle suggest that there are certain sins, certain sinful behaviors that we think are just so precious, so important. And we won't let them go. We won't put them down, even though they're keeping us from getting to the master, even though they're preventing us from gaining something that really is good and worthwhile and will give us sustenance and satisfaction. We won't put them down because in our twisted way, we have convinced ourselves, whether consciously or not, that this is precious. And I need this in my life. I don't think we say it out loud, but that's what we really are saying with our actions. And to that, Jesus wrestles. And I find this completely fascinating, what Jesus says about these types of sins, because it sounds really harsh, and it is, but at the same time, pay attention, because there's something beautifully pastoral, something very understanding, something compassionate here. Jesus says in Mark chapter 9, if your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. That was the day that I stopped reading the Bible literally in every instance. I ain't cutting my hand off. But he says in this illustration, if your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than to have two feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into hell,
where their warmth never dies and the fire is never quenched. When you hear a scripture like that and the pastor says this is the word of God for the people of God, you kind of pause before you say, thanks be to God. Because this is pretty harsh, but there is something beautiful about it because Jesus is subtly saying, I get it. I understand it's hard. That this is not easy to just throw off our old habits and our old way of life. He is acknowledging the reality of that challenge and saying, I understand this seems so important to you. And to give this up would be like cutting off your own hand, wouldn't it? I love that about Jesus. That he gets it. But he's saying, look, when it all comes down to is this, it's better to cut off that thing that just seems so important and so precious. It's better to just get rid of that than to have that keep you from life. To have that keep you from enjoying all the fullness and the richness of God's plan for our lives, God's love for our lives. So we can list sins today and name some of these big ones. There are a lot of things that are extremely destructive in our lives. But sometimes I think that's too easy. It's too easy to name those big things. But on a day-to-day basis, you and I are probably not wrestling with theft or maybe not even addiction or having an impulse to murder somebody. But what about those little subtle ways of life that work us into a destructive pattern? They don't destroy us all at once, but they rob us slowly. I think, for example, the truth. We get into a lot of trouble with the truth, even as disciples. Because sometimes it seems like the lie is so important. Because if we tell the truth, it will harm us. It will hurt us. It might cost us something. And so many times we are willing to let even the little white lies, those little tiny falsehoods, or just don't tell the whole story because it seems really vital to us to hang on to the deception. And Jesus will say, cut it off. Cut that out. That it's better for you to be hurt or to have some real consequences than to go through life as a liar. Sometimes we know that there are people that we need to forgive, that we need to love. But some people are just so hard to love, aren't they? And so we convince ourselves, we might not say it out loud, but subtly we are thinking, our lifestyle is betraying our true thoughts, that a lot of times we enjoy hating some people. Some peoples, some types of people. And we might know that we need to forgive someone, but we've convinced ourselves that that grudge is just so important because, they did that. And Jesus would say, cut it out. Cut that out. A lot of us struggle with this ownership issue of the church. For me, it's the pulpit. This is mine, you know. For you, it might be your pew or your parking space. Or it might be your comfort in the way we worship, the styles, the dress, the expectations. And sometimes we get so concerned about those, we don't realize that we might be pushing people out. We might be keeping people from feeling welcomed and connected and loved. One of the hardest challenges of being a disciple is to make space for other people. Because we've convinced ourselves that our space is so precious. Cut it out. I loved Amy Carroll's message a few weeks ago because she reminded us even perfectionism can ruin our lives, can consume us. And that sounds like a great thing, to try to do your best. Yeah, that's great. But perfectionism, as she reminded us, is a whole nother beast. Here's one that's probably going to rub some of you the wrong way. I always get in trouble. But I think that busyness can become a sin too, can't it? That we just consume, we can fill our lives with so much stuff to do. We got ball practices. We got places to go. We got parties. We got social engagements. We got our clubs that I attend, our practices. We've got art class and music class. And we fill our lives with so much stuff to do that we only do church if we got a little bit of time left over. Nobody's going to say it that way. I realize that. But that's, again, way our lifestyle is showing that church is just this little tiny thing that we'll fit in if we have time to do so. But all this other stuff is what's really precious to us. It's what's really important to us, even though it's the stick keeping us from going through the door. Cut it out. One that is even more subtle is that we find ourselves, even as we get older, subtly revealing that what's precious to us is our own sort of our comfort with people who are like us. And we wouldn't ever want to say this out loud, but many times we avoid certain situations and settings because the people that will be there are not like us. Maybe it's about social class, maybe it's about economics, maybe it's about race. But we're comfortable being with the people we're comfortable with, aren't we? And that is a subtle racism that we've called precious. And Jesus would say, cut it out. It's hard. It's hard. And that's why Jesus uses the analogy of hands and feet and eyeballs. Are you familiar with the story of Aaron Ralston? Aaron Ralston is an adventurer. He loves to go hiking and backpacking. And once while he was on a solo trek, just supposed to be a one-day outing, he wasn't really prepared, he slips in a canyon. And his arm becomes pinned between a rock and a hard place, literally. And there he is, pinned his right arm between this rock and the canyon wall. And for 127 hours, he's trapped there. Nobody really knows where he is. No one's going to come looking for him. And he's dying. He's dying. Now brace yourself for what he does. Aaron makes the difficult choice and decides to cut off his own arm. And all God's people said, ugh. He makes this conscious decision because what he's realized, Ralston says that he realizes that that arm is dead anyway. That it's already useless. And even though he's thinking about, you know, how will I live my life without my arm? It's precious. It's important to me. How will I make it? He knows deep down that he's not going to live at all if he doesn't do this terrible thing. He realizes that this thing is killing him and it's dead anyway, that it's not so precious. And so he makes that gruesome decision. And in an interview, Ralston said that when he cut off his own arm, it was the most joyful moment of his life. Now that seems hard to believe. But think about it. In that moment, he knew, I can make it. I'm not going to die in this hole. I don't have to be stuck here a moment longer. In that moment, he realized, I am free of this. And Jesus is telling us when we cut those precious little sins out of our lives, it might seem hard, and it will be hard. It will be painful. It will cost us something. And we will lose a little bit in the process. But in the giving up of those things, we discover freedom. And that's the most joyful thing in the world. To be free. To be free. To be free of those things. And so, cut it out, Jesus says. What are those dead limbs holding us down? What are those things that have pinned us in the hole? They might not be big, popular, major sins, but chances are all of us have got several things in our lives that are holding us down and killing us slowly. Killing us bit by bit. I want to leave you with this thought. There's a great sketch that Bob Newhart used to do famously, where he would portray himself as a psychologist listening to people's troubles. And they would sit there in the couch and tell Bob Newhart, as the psychologist, their troubles, their problems. I can't stop worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow. I worry about finances. I worry about my kids. And Bob Newhart's taking his notes. He goes, You got to know his dry sense of humor. And then he says, oh, okay, here's what you need to do. Stop it. And they say, I'm sorry, what? Just stop it. Stop doing that. Don't do that anymore. And they go on and try to explain. He's like, I heard you the first time. Stop it. Or someone says, you know, I've got this compulsion. Every time I go into a room, I got to turn the light switch on and on and off again. And he goes, here's what you need to do. Stop it. I think if Jesus were here listening to our troubles, our fears, our addictions, because we do have this sad addiction to sin, he would say, cut it out. Just stop it. Will you pray with me? Lord, easier said than done. You know that. You know us, your children, who are so often so wonderfully dumb in your sight. Smarten us up, God, to see that even though it is hard, it is vital. It is life and death. Lord, wake us up and help us to see clearly that these things, they are not precious. They are not vital. They are not helping us. Help us to just cut them out. Give us the strength to do that, the clarity to understand that. And Lord, when the hurt comes, because there's always consequences, when it becomes painful, God, comfort us with your Spirit. Walk us through this. We can't do it on our own. Lord, we need you. We need a strength from beyond ourselves. Lord, walk us through it so that we might live, so that we might make it through the door and have life, so that we might receive what you have to give us, life to the full. That's what we want. And that's what your Son promised. And we believe him. In his name we pray. Amen. In John 10:10, Jesus said, "The thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." If you're seeking life today, take it. Live it. As we respond to God's word, use this time as prayer, or perhaps you need someone to pray with. I'm here at the front. Or maybe you'll think through this through the week. And it might not hit you today, but it's going to hit you. What's so precious to you that you need to cut out? Let's stand together if you're able as we sing our hymn of response, "Change My Heart, O God." What a perfect prayer for today. I want to extend to you a parting invitation to come back tonight. At 4 o'clock, we have our adult Bible study, but it's really open for anyone of any age. Tonight, we'll be looking at how to read the Bible for yourself, how to work through a passage of Scripture and understand what it's really saying to us. If you're a teacher, that might especially be of interest to you. We'll also have a meal at 5 o'clock. You're invited to come and share and fellowship around the table. And then we have youth, children's activities, choir practice. Our worship choir will be practicing tonight. There's a lot going on, and we hope that you'll come back and enjoy it. Would you receive this blessing as we go? The Spirit is power. May you have that power in your life this week to strengthen you for the task ahead, to give you vision, to give you wisdom, to give you courage and dedication. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.